Fall calls for comfort. Mack Weldon's got essentials designed for cool days and timeless style. Their new Ace line combines comfort with sophisticated looks. Go to MackWeldon.com for 20% off your first order of $125 or more with code MACK25.
You can have it all. Great pay, awesome benefits, a flexible schedule, the chance to grow. At Cox, we're recruiting auto and diesel technicians to join our Manheim and fleet services teams. If you're ready for a new job and want to experience an award-winning workplace, drive your career forward with us. Visit cox.career/autotech to learn more. That's cox.career/autotech.
This is The Joe Gaither Show on BamaCentral.com.
Good morning, Tuscaloosa. Good morning, Tuscaloosa, Internet World, West Alabama. How we doing today on a Monday? It is August 11th. Hope you guys are doing well. It's the Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central, BamaCentral.com. We're live in the Derry Daniel State Farm Studios. You're watching us on the Bama Central YouTube channel. You're watching us on the Bama Central Facebook page. My own Twitter at JoeGaither6. You can check us out at Theo__ on Apple Podcasts, Amazon, Spotify. We are having a great day in the Derry Daniel State Farm Studios. We hope you guys are ready for a new week. We are 20 days away from Alabama football kicking off, so we are very, very excited about that. We have two more weeks of fall camp, and then we get into game week. So it's right around the corner. Oh my goodness, week zero will be here before you know it. Even though there's no good games on week zero, it will be here and it will be exciting. Cannot wait for that. I don't see your text message, Theo, so I can't see it from here. That's okay. I'm about to put you into the stream, and you can tell everybody exactly what you said, even if it's a snarky thing. But yeah, we're live in the Derry Daniel State Farm Studios. You can call us at 205-758-3391 is the number for all of your insurance needs. Like a good neighbor, Derry Daniel is there. Let's mute your computer so we're not getting double mic'd right there. 205-758-3391 for your home, life, auto insurance needs, renter's insurance needs. Theo's already called him and got his renter's insurance for his new place. It is the moving season for about another five days in Tuscaloosa. I know a lot of people moved in over the weekend, so we're excited about a new semester. We thank Derry Daniel for sponsoring this program and for protecting all of the things that we love, our home, our life, our auto, our goods in our apartments with the renter's insurance, everything in the insurance realm. Derry Daniel can take care of you. What are we going to do today, Theo? We're going to talk about the scrimmage on Saturday. We're going to talk about rumors that we heard from several different people, but we're all really going to focus on Kalen DeBoer's comments. We're going to focus on what Kalen DeBoer had to say after the scrimmage, what is real and what is not. So, yeah, that's what we're going to do today. You guys can chime in on the comment section at JoeGaither6. You can comment at Theo_ at Bama Central. And if you want to leave a voicemail, you can do that at 205-462-7340, extension 800. If you have some things you want to talk about with scrimmage, you can do that. We'd welcome your voicemails right now. So with that, Theo, how was your weekend? What'd you get into?
My weekend was great jobs. Here in the U.S., talking about the work wrestler. It was it's a lot of work. Moving into apartment with my renter's insurance, like you brought up. So building furniture and talking sports are really, I can't complain at all. It's a pretty fun weekend in my book.
What did you text me just a minute ago?
You see, I was worried that I thought you forgot to bring me into the shot. I was feeling a little excluded here because I saw I was backstage. Turns out it's all part of your plan, so.
Okay, just checking.
Just making sure that I wasn't being forgotten.
With the phone being up there, I saw your name pop up, and I was like, what are you texting me from 5 feet away? Are you texting me a funny joke?
No funny jokes. I said that for the end of the show.
Oh, okay. Yeah, exactly. All right, so we got a great week ahead of us. And no football activity today. The boys were back in action on Sunday. I think they have 10 more practices across these 2 weeks. I think that's what it is. Maybe it's nine. It's 10.
It would have to be less than 10. They get 2 days on, 1 off.
Yeah, so it's 9, right? So let's look at our schedule here so we can actually be accurate. It's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, and 9 is what it looks like. 9 more practices left and then a game week. So, it's right here upon us. Theo, I know you flew your drone into Bryant Denny Stadium on Saturday, so you got to see everything from the scrimmage. You're going to give us all the intel that you saw. What did you think about Coach DeBoer?
Yeah, well, first of all, I wonder what happened if someone actually tried to fly a drone.
I did fly my drone. Why didn't you?
I figured they'd shoot it down or something. I mean, it happened. That should happen. But no, I mean, you never get a ton out of what you hear the board said. But, I mean, there were definitely a couple things that left, you know, a mark on it. The number one thing, I think this officially confirms beyond a shadow of a doubt, that we will not be Keelan Russell at quarterback. I think, we all knew this for a little while, but just hearing the way that DeBoer really talked about how Wolf has Simpson and Austin Knapp have really developed with their knowledge of the offense, I think it shows that. I'd be willing to bet almost all my money on Simpson being 1 and Mack being 2 to start the season.
How much money is that? Like $4?
Yeah.
You're a college
kid. You call me, bro. It's $35.
You're a college kid, so it can't be more than 50.
Oh, it's. That's we save them money for later in the career.
There you go. That's good. That's good. So, let's get into stuff that he said about quarterbacks and things that Birdie's told us about quarterbacks as well. I agree with you. Coach DeBoer basically made it clear. His insinuation was that it was basically it's still Ty's job to lose, and it's Austin Mack pretty firmly in the 2 spot, and Keelan playing the third man. And I don't necessarily think that's a huge surprise. I do think it's a little bit a little bit enlightening to realize that Austin is firmly in the 2 spot. But really, as far as Keelan goes, Keelan not the starting quarterback or not going to be the starting quarterback, I don't think anybody should be really surprised by that. I mean, there's been no indications over how many months has it been since April. There's been no indication since April. What's that, 6 months, 5 months?
That's 4 months.
Thank you very much. My math and calendar work is poor. I had to put it out and calculate it with my fingers. 4 months. There's been no indication in 4 months. And really, going back before A-Day, going back in fall or in spring camp, there's been no indication that Ty Simpson was going to get supplanted. Now, at the start of the year, I thought, Austin Mack's going to win this job. And we Mason and I had a huge Austin Mack camp that we built out. Mason is still there. I abandoned ship pretty much as soon as spring football started, and left to join the Ty Simpson compound, where there's power and water and a private chef. But he's still cooking on his camp stove with Austin Mack, and I guess he's got an adjacent Keelan Russell camp just on the other side of the bathhouse. But yeah, I think that you're still sitting here, and the biggest thing to me was he's saying, we want to make sure that we want to have a starter named by the end of next Saturday's scrimmage. So you got 5 more days, Ty Simpson, to play well. 5 more days to command the offense and play well, and you're going to be probably named the starting quarterback for that Florida State game. And then basically from there, the Florida State game on, it's just going to be how do you play in the games, game by game by game. And if you continue to play well in these games, then your spot will be solidified. The cement around your starting quarterback spot will harden. Right now, he's pouring the concrete. It's all water based. If you step into it, you'll sink. But it is hardening. If Ty Simpson plays well, it will solidify, and that will be the foundation of the entire season.
Absolutely, and one of the things the board said was that they're very much on track to have starter names by the end of next scrimmage, so that's next Saturday.
This Saturday night.
Yeah, this Saturday night. I have a good week, so. When we're there, I'll be in Gatlinburg.
What are you doing in Gatlinburg?
Football there.
Scott, pivot. Who are you announcing for?
It's a high school AM league that's hired me to work media for them.
All year long or just this weekend?
Then it's had a couple big events throughout the year. So I'm only doing this one on 1 December. If it's during the football season, I'm not
there. Do you know anything about 8-man football?
I've been calling it in for 2 years. I'm from that.
Oh, okay. Wow. Awesome. We need to get you Tuscaloosa Christian Academy.
Oh, yeah, that's great. Well,
yeah, we need to get you out there. You can be the lead reporter for 8-man football in West Alabama. The three teams that play.
That is a huge shot right there. I'm all the way from that.
Hey, there you go.
But no, I mean we're gonna know the QB in about 5 days, which y'all, I think, would take something very, very unforeseen for what we all think is gonna happen with. But it will certainly be nice hearing DeBoer officially say.
Well, what are we going to do as a media conglomerate, Theo, without quarterback competition? It feeds families. You know, Nick Saban's, the cake's not baking. The cake's still in the oven. We're still, we don't know yet. That line fed us for an entire year of, well, who's it going to be, Jalen Milroe or Ty Simpson or Tyler Buckner? And now that we have a, you know, last year it was all about Jalen Milroe. Will Jalen Milroe fit into Kalen DeBoer's system? How will they use his skill set? And now this year it's who's going to be? Can the freshman take over for Ty Simpson? Austin Mack, the forgotten man. Like, without a quarterback narrative to drive, what are we going to do for the week, the 2 weeks before the game?
I don't know. It feels weird. Like, we're just going to watch Alabama football.
No, Todd.
Not used to this.
Yes, that's exactly what we're going to do. We'll try to objectively get after the team and talk about what it's going to be like and who's going to be needing to step up. And we need to really start looking at Florida State. We need to really start looking at Thomas Castellanos and Florida State and kind of breaking down who else is on the team besides the Boston College transfer.
That's great, because admittedly, no, probably a little less than I should about this team. Not that I don't have sight 2-10 teams in my free time, but, you know, I think I'm saying, okay, FSC could be much improved.
Oh, they will be improved. There's no way you're not improved from 2-10.
I mean, obviously. I mean, how high is the jump from FSC?
And get back to a bowl game. That's an attainable bar. They can win 8 games. That feels safe. That feels safe to say.
I think if I'm going to see 8 games, makes me better.
Yeah, that's a nice little bounce back. So that's what we'll end up doing. But we got a week before we get there. So what we heard from Birdies was basically Ty Simpson was the starting quarterback on Saturday scrimmage, and Austin Mack comes in as the second quarterback. But what I was kind of the extra context that I heard was that, you know, Austin Mack did a lot of handing the football off. You know, we got to get the real offense going with Ty Simpson. And then once Austin Mack gets in there, we got to make sure the offensive line is driving off the football, is getting the run game going. We want to see who's going to be the running backs behind Jam Miller. Jam is basically getting all the praise, and he should be. I mean, he's the lead dog. He's the guy who's been here the longest, and it's his time to really be the guy. I think last year was probably his time in his own timeline. But you had a super athletic quarterback that superseded Jam Miller's time. It is Jam Miller's time to basically be the engine of this offense. I know everybody's looking at Ty Simpson and Ryan Williams and these receivers, but I think the Ryan Grubb offense really begins with a hammer in the backfield, a 4 yard, 4 to 8 yard hammer. As long as I can hammer you for 4 yards and turn this baby into second and six and turn this baby into third and three, where you don't know if we're hammering you a third time on third and three or if we are throwing the ball way down the field over your head because you're so worried about getting hammered again, that Ryan Williams is wide open 50 yards down the sideline. Can Ty Simpson hit that explosive? I think this whole thing starts with a hammer. And so you bring Austin Mack in on Saturday as the second quarterback, and you get those hammers going. You say, okay, Jam, okay, Richard, Daniel Hill, Breland Washington, who's it going to be outside of Jam Miller? And so that's what really happens next in the scrimmage. Ty comes in, operates normal offense. Austin Mack comes in, really focusing on handing the football off, throwing the ball some, but doing a lot more of handing the football off, testing the Alabama defensive line, testing the Alabama defensive front. We'll talk about that as well here in just a minute. But then later in the scrimmage, Keelan gets his opportunity, and Keelan looks fine. I think Keelan looks good for a freshman, but fine overall in the grand scheme of things. Oh my gosh, did I not turn? Oh man, I am so mad at myself. We spent 15 minutes, and I just turned. I'm gonna have to adjust your audio just a little bit for these first couple of minutes, but that's okay. We'll figure it out the rest of the way. Man, that's really annoying. But then you got Keelan Russell that's coming in. You got Keelan Russell that's coming in and operates the offense fine. But really, Kalen DeVore said it in the press conference that Ty has command of the offense. Ty is getting them in and out of the huddle, getting to the line of scrimmage, and knowing where to throw the football, right? I think the other two, Austin and Keelan Russell, and particularly Keelan, is not showing the excellent command of the offense, which, why would you? You're a true freshman. You've just been in a college offense for 6 months now, really, 8 months now. So none of this is surprising to me. The nitpicky thing that I want to get to, Theo, the two comments that Kalen DeBoer made that people are really latching on to that I think are really easy to pick apart.
All right, let's go.
He said, no interceptions today, and all the quarterbacks are having a good completion percentage. We like about 65% completion. Okay, that's good. I mean, on the surface, that's a great comment, right? Oh, nobody threw an interception. And then Kalen DeBoer is like, I think we've only had three, maybe four interceptions in the entirety of fall camp. And I'm like, wow, that's great. I mean, if you're not turning the football over, that's great, all right? That's a base level thing. Don't turn the ball over. You're with me so far?
I'm following.
And he said, oh, the completion percentage today, everybody was right around the mark. About 65% is the mark, but everybody was right around the mark. He did say they took advantage of the explosives that were there. But here's my question to you, Theo, without seeing any of the scrimmages. Can you throw zero interceptions if you're just checking the ball down to your running backs, if you're checking the ball down to your tight end that's hovering 4 yards over the line of scrimmage right in front of the center? Is it easier to throw completion? Is it easier to hit your completion percentage if you're going, oh, not one, not two, oh, let's go to three and four, who are right underneath, a couple yards away, just dump it right off, get it out of my hands. I'm not giving the play a chance to develop. I am just throwing it right out to a guy. And whether he gets 2 yards and is tackled, or whether it's 4 yards and is tackled, or maybe he breaks a tackle and he busted for 12 yards, whatever the case may be. But you got people latching on to no interceptions in camp, and everybody's at the right completion percentage, which can be a good thing. Like, I'm gonna leave that side of the coin is viable. It could be a great thing. But it also could mean that you're not throwing the ball down the field at all. You're not giving the play a chance to develop. It could also mean that you're not
Trusting yourself to throw it into a dangerous area. Where are you giving your receivers, these receivers who we love, a chance to make plays? You could go either way with the side of the coin that you want to look at. But, you know, of course, the Alabama fans, and you should, if you're an Alabama fan, you should see the positives, are saying, great, no interceptions, good completion percentage. We're doing great at quarterback. Are we doing great at quarterback right now? What's your thoughts now that we're 10 to, because you see these passes in the Alabama football practice facility, practice videos, right? And we were out there a good bit of time for the first part of camp. The passes have not been inaccurate. I'll make that clear. It has not been an inaccurate passes that we've seen. But sometimes Ryan's had to slow down a little bit on some of these videos. And sometimes Isaiah Horton's had to jump up and use his massive frame and catch it outside his, at the top of his catch radius a little bit. So some of these passes have not been, right on their face mask, which, come on, that's okay. It's not a video game. It's not a video game and they're not professionals. But like some of these passes are, did receiver XYZ have to slow down and wait on it? Was it behind you? Was that a good pass? Was it not a good pass? Like without defense, it's hard to say.
Right, because you could also put certain balls in certain places to mock against different coverages. We have no clue what they're going for. And that's why, like, you talk about, okay, you get two sides of the coin, the good, the bad. That coin is still in the air. It has not landed, and we don't know what it reads. Like, maybe they're throwing checkdowns all day. Maybe Ty threw a 70-yard bomb to Ryan Williams.
I think we would have heard about it, but go ahead.
Okay, realistically, sure. But the point is, we don't know. Like, we do not know what's going on, and I just think...
My drone footage got fuzzy during the middle of scrimmage. They used, like, the electric magnetic pulse and messed up my footage.
So you got to up the defense system for next time. We had to get that footage one day. Just overall, I mean, I just think that you cannot look into this too much at all. I mean, Joe, how many of the practices have you been to? Most of them, right?
Four by now, I think. Four of the six that we were allowed to go to, I think is what it is. Yeah.
My number's, I think, either three or four. So we've seen a good bit of practice. How much of substance have you actually seen?
The last practice that we were at was actual substance when they were in full pads. Mm-hmm. When they were in full pads and the offensive line was maneuvering on basically together. Yeah, that was actual substance. The first three with no pads.
And we were out there for about 12 minutes.
Right.
That is the full extent of what we have seen Alabama football do since April. I mean, seriously, like, you just cannot look too much into this. And I don't even think it's worth me giving a take on, this number means so much. They're playing clean football. They're completing passes. Not going to go out on the positives of that. And I'm not going to go out on, poor ball placement. We check down all the time. I'm going to abstain from that because we'll find out August 30th.
20 days away.
20. I remember writing roll call, and it feels like a month ago that we were in the 150s and doing that countdown every day. And 20 days is just absurd.
See, I think you have positive momentum in the quarterback room, but I'm hesitant to really latch on to zero interceptions, everybody hitting their completion percent. I think that this is tied to basically. What I think this is over the last couple of weeks has been, Ty, you just need to play your game through fall camp and you're going to be the starter. We don't want to name you the starter right now because we don't want to take any fire away from your rear end. We want to keep your rear end warm so that you continue to play on edge, right? You create this sense of competition that I don't really know is there, but you create it by your words and by what you tell the media and by what you tell the quarterback room. You create it and thus keep Ty Simpson a bit under pressure through all of fall camp. But I think that by the end of the week, when he plays, you know, just fine, plays well on Saturday, they're going to come out. He's going to come to the press conference on Saturday at 12 and be like, "And we're ready. Ty Simpson's going to be our starter when we go down to Tallahassee." Because at that point, you want to give Ty the next 2 weeks, the last week of fall camp and the first game week, where everybody knows this is the guy we're looking at. I think everybody knows in the building kind of already. They're feeling that, especially with the way that he's operating in the huddle and operating just kind of as a human off the field. I think he's operating as the starting – I think he's been operating as Alabama's starting quarterback really the entire summer. But once they give him that stamp, then everybody who might be questioning it, everybody who might not be fully on board, knows that Ty Simpson is the guy, and we got a week, last week of fall camp to lean on him as the leader, to follow the leader, and then the first game week, we all know that Ty's the guy. So that's kind of how I see the next 4 or 5 days playing out.
Do you think DeBoer is going to wait for someone to ask him the question, or is he just going to come out and say it right away in his opening statement?
He's going to wait. He's going to wait to the first question, and whoever gets the first question is going to be, "Well, coach, you said last week you wanted to name a starting quarterback. How'd the quarterbacks go? Who's the starter?"
That's exactly how I envision that going down.
Yes. Yeah. The reason I don't like those press conferences, Theo, is because we didn't see anything. And so it becomes a, what'd you see in the quarterbacks? What'd you see in the running backs? What'd you see in the offensive line? What'd you see in the wide receiver? What we should do next week on Saturday, or this coming week, right? "Hey, coach, what do you want to tell us today?" Leave it at that. "Hey, coach, what do you want to tell us today?" Because that's essentially what this turns into. And it's fine. That's the way they want to do it. It's fine. But they should just turn it into, like, instead of making us go position by position asking, because no specific questions get asked. It's all, "What'd you see in the wide receivers? What'd you see in the defensive backs? What'd you see in the linebackers, coach? What'd you see in the defense of the pass rush?" And, like, just certain elements, they're all generalities. Just say, "Hey, coach, why don't you take us position by position? What do you want to tell us about each group?" And just let him talk for 15 minutes uninterrupted. So we just sit there and listen. We just sit there and type. And he just knows, you know, Alex can give him all the position groups labeled as bullet points, right? Right. And he can just take his pencil and scratch through each position group as he goes through. "Well, quarterbacks look great. We're naming a starter. Well, running backs, Jam Miller look great. XYZ look great too. Oh, wide receivers all played good. Here's your good, you know, young player that impressed me. Offensive line looked good. So and so still injured. So and so's this," whatever. "Defensive line, pass rush did, you know, just goes right through." And we don't even have to, like, don't pass the microphone around. Just don't pass it around. Just, "Hey, coach, what do you want to tell us today?"
Yeah, I have no problem with that idea at all, because we get so little. And I read through the whole transcript of questions as you were saying.
There had
to have been something.
No.
Nothing. "What was the pass rush like today? How have the tight ends changed since spring?" It is.
What do you want to tell us today, coach?
You're onto something there.
The only question that I loved, Chase Goodred, Tuscaloosa News. "Hey, coach, what were you disappointed in today?" All right, so before we get there, let's just take it by position. Well, that's the quarterbacks. We talked about the quarterbacks. I did think that his running back answer was a little bit enlightening.
Agreed.
He talked about, oh, Jam's the guy. All right, Jam's 1A. He might be 1A and 1B. But I think we're starting to decipher this running back room as we're closer and closer. I do think Drelon Washington is going to be one of the three, but I think poor Richard Young is in a battle for his life, for his opportunities. I think Richard Young and Daniel Hill are in a phone booth, in a cage match, battling each other for who's going to be the third Alabama running back to get touches. And I think Daniel Hill is winning.
You know, that's what it sounds like to me. And we had this talk a week ago.
The Mountain!
Daniel Mountain. Well, first of all, I think we still both agree that this offense just probably cannot support four running backs.
No, we asked him, after the win, Wednesday of last week, Tuesday of last week, where Ryan Fowler asked, "Hey, coach, what'd you see in the running backs?" And he goes, "Jam Miller." And then he gave a real answer.
Yeah, I remember.
And then I basically said, "Well, how many are we going to play this year, coach?" And he's like, "Oh, as many as the game plan allows." And he like gave us a bunch of hooey, and then finally, but realistically, probably three running backs is probably the limit. Yeah, thanks, coach.
So I just, you know, if you'd asked me from just blind rankings out of what I knew about these players, what I'd seen from them, I would have thought Young would probably beat out Hill for that. Now I agree. I mean, the way he talked about him and the way DeBoer talked about Hill's pass catching and how well he does that for a bigger guy almost sounds to me like we'll have some almost a fullback type role at times from Daniel Hill, which I would not complain about at all.
Get in the I formation, get under center, get a little Jam Miller dot in the eye, Daniel Hill as the fullback, as the H-back.
Yeah, and trust me, that'll be used very sparingly. But like, we'll mostly just see him as a normal running back. But I agree that does not look great for Young.
Yeah, so I thought that was enlightening on Saturday that he was Daniel Hill was the second running back mentioned, and his comment on Richard Young. Let me see. I don't want to, but it was so dismissive.
It was.
We're running back. I think Jam is certain. Yeah. Okay. Dre has been consistent all year long. This is after he's talking about Jam and Daniel Hill. Dre has been consistent all year long. I thought he poured a couple balls, a couple runs up in there, did a nice job maybe when there's not even something there. Just moving the pile and getting those three-yard gains that are important, setting your offense up for good down and distances. Rich continues to do his thing, too.
What is his coach?
All of them. I think Jam certainly had the best day, and that's been consistent. Feel good about them in pass. All of them in pass. Like he just. Oh yeah, Rich continued to do his thing too.
He gets seven words. That's it.
Daniel Hill, and then Daniel Hill is a guy we're getting more and more comfortable with. He's a big back, but I think he's deceiving when it comes to what he does from a skill set standpoint because he can catch the ball out of the backfield. Like you get three lines for Daniel Hill, you get a lot of this answer for Jam Miller, and then he compliments Drelin Washington's ability to move the pile, and Rich continues to do his thing. Oh, okay. All right, coach. Thanks for the insight for real though. But I'm wondering if Richard Young is losing his place to Daniel Hill, and like we've talked about a bunch this summer that Daniel Hill is probably going to factor into this offense, and we just didn't really. I was hoping that you'd get a four running back, you know, a quad running back situation, but I think that maybe Daniel Hill is supplanting Richard Young.
Yeah, I mean, it certainly looks like that's possible, but then again, it's speculation, and so
that's all we're doing now.
I'm gonna pose this same because there's another player that is had a similar situation like this where, okay, he's fighting for position, fighting to make the depth chart, fighting for spot there. And coach talked a lot about other guys and didn't really bring him up. Like, how much do you look into something like that? It may like
a little, but not a lot. I mean, the weight, it's so hard to figure out how much weight you're putting on it. But I do think that, you're looking at Richard Young, Drelin Washington, and Daniel Mountain as your top three running backs.
Because if you're okay with me moving us from running backs, the other player that really, you know, caught me off guard was when DeBoer was talking about the receivers. And he's talking about, he brought up Horton first.
Yep.
Then he talks about Cole Adams, Rico Scott. We hear nothing about Jalen Hale. You know, like that's one where it's like, oh, wait, like, why aren't we talking about this guy? What happened there?
I think Jalen Hale is, gosh, this is going to make me look bad, Theo. But I think Jalen Hale might be a feel good story.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
I think Jalen Hale might be might be, wow, we're so happy that he's recovered from his injury, but we're going to wish him well in the winter transfer portal.
Wow.
I hate saying that because that makes me look like a bad guy. But my little birdies told me that Cole Adams was balling. Balling! And that matches up with what we saw last year. I mean, we saw Cole Adams in the slot a lot last year until he got hurt. And he was a waterbug type and great player out in the state of Oklahoma as a high schooler. Now he's a redshirt sophomore, I believe. That matches up. He gets hurt, and now if he's so basically, my assessment is that he is fully healthy, and I think that he's right there in the mix for your fourth contributor with Rico. I think that he is. His advantage is that he is probably such a slot receiver that is he the first slot receiver? Probably unlikely, but is he the second? Yeah, I think he probably is. And will he continuously be open underneath? Little Julian Edelman, little Wes Welker type. Are you too young for Wes Welker?
No, I'm very, very familiar with Wes Welker.
Okay, but you're more familiar with Edelman.
I mean, yeah, Edelman was there all the time.
Right. So Wes Welker was before him, right?
I remember Welker with 2011 Patriots and then Denver.
Okay, so you're not as young as we originally thought. Okay, but Welker was also, he was there with the Patriots with Brady for a hot minute.
Until the Giants, he at Super Bowl drop. I remember that very
right,
well.
And Danny Amendola was the poor man's version of both of them. But I do think that he's in that vein. And when we're going to take us back to the quarterback conversation, if you're, hey, man, I'm just getting the ball out. Hey, man, I'm just check down Charlie. Well, little Cole Adams on a whip route, a 3-yard whip, to step inside and whip back outside, right? You know exactly the route we're talking about. A little 4-yard whip route is going to be always open. And, yeah, he can get you 5-6 yards total after, 2 yards after the catch and gets tackled, and now it's second and four. And, like, if you're living in second and four, well, hell, this offense is doing really well. Like, if we're living in second and four, everybody's happy. Then you turn around and you wonder, are we giving it to Jam Miller to hammer the defense a little bit more, or are we throwing it over the top to Ryan Williams? I think that Cole Adams, his just quick twitch ability is going to be a factor this year.
No, I agree, and I would love to see it. And
but, yeah, you're wondering about why Jalen Hale wasn't mentioned, and I think that my not so fun take is probably the accurate one. Now I believe every take I give is the accurate one, but I think that Cole Adams, I think Jalen Hale, every time he gets brought up, everybody talks, oh, we're so proud of him, oh, we're so happy for him. I think there was a time, was it Jamarcus Shepherd that said there was a time that he was really thinking if he was going to play football again?
Really?
I think it was. But, I think there was a little moment for Jalen Hale that, oh, we don't know if this injury is going to be, if he's going to overcome it. And next time we're in the facility, next time we're at a practice, just look at Jalen Hale's lower body and you tell me if he's ready to take an SEC beating. And I don't know if he is. Now, look, that's not always indicative, just visuals, right? Because some players are just skinny. Devontae Smith was skinny. But I'm just concerned. I think that Jalen Hale will be on scholarship this year, might get into a game or two, but then is a prime candidate for the transfer portal after this year. I mean, because look at what you're bringing in also.
Yeah, I mean, there's so much everywhere.
You're going to lose Jeremy and Isaiah, but the whole wide receiver room basically returns after, besides Jeremy and Isaiah. And wait, isn't Isaiah Horton a redshirt junior?
I was going to say, I thought Horton had another.
He's a redshirt junior. Yes, he is. So, I think that Hale might be at Kentucky, South Alabama, might be at Mississippi State, might be at Vanderbilt next year.
No, I mean, I would expect multiple receivers to be in the portal with just how much talent we're going to be returning. Whichever one of those guys, whether it's Rico or Cole or Jalen Mbakwe, whoever doesn't get...
I don't think any of those three will be portaling.
You know, I think it's very possible.
Yeah, possible for sure. But,
you know, like, I think you can't come in saying, oh, yeah, like, we'll have this depth returning, especially when you think, oh, you know, Brooks and Meadows coming up and
Sadarian Morgan.
Yeah, right. Like, it's just
Brian Thomas Jr., Owen Cabell, all coming in the class of 2026.
Absurd.
All right. So, offensive line, we're going to hit them all right here. We'll just go through all the positions. Offensive line. You heard him that Jane Roberts was out for the scrimmage. And so thus it was Cam Dewberry and Gino Vandermark playing left and right guard respectively. I think that that's what you're going to see the first week against Florida State, is that Cam's playing left and Gino's playing right. And Jaden Roberts is on the bench either due to injury or due to you miss time from injury, so that your chemistry is not quite there, or your
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't realize that was your throw over to me.
No, I just I don't want to get deeper into. I think that your starting guards are probably going to be Cam Dewberry and Gino Vandermark, at least to start the year.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I think a loss of Lennon, the sense I got, you know, as I'm planning to write a story on him, so I was talking to a lot of coaches, teammates about him. Sense I got is that he's still a year away.
Yes.
Is that, you know, don't get me wrong, they are beyond excited about his potential, about what he can do.
He's your left tackle next
year. In 2026, yeah, but I think he is a year away.
He's your left tackle after Caden Proctor moves on. It's going to be Olas, Jackson Lloyd, and Michael Carroll all fighting each other for that left tackle position.
Those are some big guys.
I don't want to be involved in that fight.
I do not.
I want to spectate it from 100 miles away.
Ring announcer for that fight.
Through binoculars. Because that fight is going to create some destruction of property. Yeah, I think the loss is a year away.
So you think, how good do you feel, scale 1 to 10 on the depth inside?
Depth?
Especially with, you know, if Vandermark does have to start.
Three, four.
I was gonna say I didn't think that number would be high.
Yeah, not very good. No, because I like the guys personally. As you know, you're gonna be looking at Jaden Roberts, and who I would feel good about as a depth piece, like great about as a depth piece. Really, I mean, a preseason All SEC. If he has lost his job, or if he is injured, or if he is just not quite in game shape. Which I don't think that's the case. I think more it's a, can we light the fire under him? Can we translate the weight room onto the field? Is that translating consistently enough? I think you got to find ways to make it translate. And if it does translate, I think Gino is probably right back into the depth role, and Jaden Roberts supplants him, which could happen through the year. But then you're looking at past Jaden Roberts, you're looking at Joe Ayanata at center, which I love Joe, but we haven't seen anything out of him other than backup reps. So, okay, great. I think he's a hard worker. I think he's a hard worker, and I think he's a smart player, but I have no idea what he looks like in live game action. And he's played a little. He played little last year in what, Western Kentucky and Mercer game. Was that right?
That sound. I mean, those
Mercer and somebody else. So those are fine. But you got Rock Montgomery, who big old body, big old man. But like literally everybody else from a depth perspective, Rock Montgomery, William Sanders, you don't know much about, right? And so, could they be fine as depth pieces? Yes, they could be, but they could equally be not fine. And so, like, yeah, you asked me 1 to 10. How do I feel? 4 is where I'll land on the depth.
Yeah, that sounds fair to me. I will say that it sounded like Coach Kapilovic was impressed by Dewberry so far. I know we were playing the confidence game. How confident are you in each lineman and then the groups of players? And I would say that my Dewberry number's gone up a little. You know, hearing
to 10?
I wish I could put it at 10, but I'll give him a solid 7 right now. You know, Kapilovich said flashes of greatness last year, but there were times where he's going through the motions and not really giving it his all. And apparently that's something that they've resolved. So I think I'm feeling better about left guard right now.
I am too. Let's hit a quick little break. Tell everybody about the Northport Lions Club Health Fair on Saturday, August 23rd. And then we come back, we'll flip it to the defensive side of the ball where there's a small concern.
Northport Lions Club and St. Mark Church present a free health fair in honor of Dr. Norman and Jean Carlson Saturday, August 23rd, 8:30 till noon. That'll be in the St. Mark Family Life Center. Northport citizens can get free eye, hearing, and blood pressure screenings, diabetes testing, and more. Now, the first 100 people get a free biscuit and free Domino's pizza slices will be served at 11, along with free snow cones and drinks from Buffalo Rock. Sponsors include Alabama Lions Psych, Ascent Audiology, DCEH Regional Medical Center, West Alabama Food Bank, Special Olympics, Northport Police Department, U of A Institute for Rural Health, the Alabama Department of Public Health, and others. A Northport Fire Department truck will be on site, and there will be lots of fun kids' activities. The Northport Lions St. Mark Health Fair. See you Saturday, August 23rd.
This Black Friday, get 6 months free when you move your WordPress sites to Kinsta. Enjoy faster load times, no stress when traffic spikes, and hosting you can actually count on. We're G2's number one rated host for WordPress. For a reason. Visit kinsta.com/BF. That's KINSTA.com/BF. Don't miss out. Offer ends December 2nd.
And we do hope to see you Saturday, August 23rd, right there at St. Mark Church for this free health clinic. We want to provide services to the community. And so come check yourself out if you need eye care, if you need a lot of you know, basic health services right there at the St. Mark Church. What I want to get into next is defense, because Chase did ask a good question. Chase Goodbread asked a good question asking, Coach, what were you disappointed in today? And basically it took, you were in the room. It took Kalen DeBoer a minute to like, how do I want to answer this? Not a minute, but what, 10 seconds?
He hesitated.
Right, 10 seconds, yeah. And he came up with an answer that I think will upset the Alabama fan base. Do you remember what he said?
I don't know what you're referring to here, actually.
That's fine. You can read the transcript and get down to it on BamaCentral.com. All this coverage is on BamaCentral.com. Alabama Crimson Tide on SI. Katie Windham leading our coverage. We had a lot of writers in the room. But Goodbread asked him, what were you concerned about? What were you disappointed in the scrimmage? And he said, well, every time that something good happens, it's good on one side of the ball, but bad on the other. It's balance, right? And he talked about, early in the scrimmage, Jam Miller in the Alabama running game hit the Alabama defense, gashed them in the run game, moved the football down the field pretty good, gashed them in the run game. And he said, now later in the scrimmage, as the scrimmage wore on, then the defense started to really bottle them up and really got after them, and the running lanes really disappeared. And he complimented the defense for stepping up in the red zone and getting a red zone stop. I think it was probably a goal line stop of sorts. And so, like, I do think the defense, all the talent that we talked about, still exists over there. But Coach DeBoer talked about, well, when one thing's good, the other thing is bad. And then when one thing's bad, is the other thing good? Like, it's hard to tell. Again, go back to the zero interceptions. Is it zero interceptions because Ty's been dicing up the Alabama defensive backs? Or do the Alabama defensive backs not know how to break on a football? Like, which side you want to play? I think it just depends on which angle you want to take. But for me, he said Jam hit him up in the run game early and gashed him in the run game early. And I believe that. He basically said, we want to start faster. We want to start faster and making sure we're bringing the intensity right off the bat. I'm game with that. And plus, it's the first scrimmage. You're going to have, you know, just some things to work on. But are you still concerned? You know, last year, Alabama's run defense was not so hot for a lot of the year. Got better. It did get better. And Kane Womack talked about having to call and orchestrate a lot of run bullets. He was blitzing Jihad Campbell a lot. He was trying to kind of disrupt the other offensive lines, throw them off their paths, and close certain holes quickly. I think that he had to adjust his defensive scheme to calling a lot of run blitzes, not just playing the run straight up per se. I think a lot of people were unhappy with the Alabama run defense last year, particularly in the Vanderbilt game, the Vanderbilt loss, and particularly as Oklahoma played 3 yards in a cloud of dust and in their, what, two drives that they were successful in. They just death by 1,000 cuts in the really two drives that they had in that game. Left me with a, taste in my mouth out on Saturday. Not a sound the alarms, not a go pull the alarm and, you know, but in a, is this cleaned up? Are they ready to really stop the run? Are they really some dudes? Now, look, James Smith wasn't playing in the scrimmage.
Yep.
Wasn't playing the scrimmage, apparently still recovering from, you know, just still recovering and wanting to make sure that he is fully healthy and ready to go in 20 days. But Theo, what did you take from the comment about the run defense, about, starting fast? Because, look, man, that's the first place that Gus Malzahn is going to go. First place that Gus Malzahn is going to go is a little read option. We're gonna use your running back to move your eyes, and Castellanos is going to try to hit a gap on the backside defense if you're not disciplined enough. Or he'll let the ball go, and they'll try to hit you on the front side. What's your feeling? Was that a ears perking up comment, or am I just being overly sensitive?
Well, yeah, you see, first of all, James Smith being out to me was a, you know, that's a factor. That's something where it's okay. He's not out there. He's one of our better stoppers, and I'm still really high on Tim Keenan. And I think you're looking a little too much into it. But at the same time, knowing how good our secondary is, knowing how teams are going to play us, and knowing, like you said, some of those moments last year where the run defense was not quite up to par for this program, there definitely is cause for mild concern, I'd say. You know, but I also don't know how much of this is just, okay, if the secondary's great, if we have some really good linebackers, run defense may be one of our weaker spots on defense, but is it a weakness per se? No, maybe it just doesn't live up to some of the other positions, which are really, really high above par.
Full comment. So I mentioned Jam getting some good runs the first couple plays of the game. Obviously, that meant that there were some seams. The first drive in particular, some seams. So we've got to be ready to play. Gap integrity defensively. I didn't feel like over the course of the scrimmage, the defense had an issue with the run. Just being ready to go with the first couple of plays. The offense got down the field pretty quickly. The defense did a nice job anchoring down and keeping them out of the end zone at the end. Some good give and take when I say that it was kind of the first drive only. They did a good job. Then on the alternative, what you'd like to see is the offense continue to execute. Continue to execute the run game. It wasn't like they were bad, but those explosives you want to try to see. Certainly the defense did a good, nice job of clamping down. I sit wearing the headphones every single day, and I flip from one side to the other. There's complaining and guys upset, and then the others. On the other side, there's a crew that's pretty happy and ready to go to the next play. I think there's a good give and take. I can't say that there was anything concerning where we are in trouble or nervous about this. Again, playing some young guys there defensively. James, as I mentioned, has been out getting good rotation and guys getting a lot of good reps. That's the other part of this scrimmage is I think that there was just high rotation. We want to see if you have absorbed the first 10 days of fall camp. because really this was their first opportunity to say, hey, we're calling a play XYZ ABC 1-2-3. Do you understand what that means? Without the coaches saying, now Billy, XYZ 1-2-3 means that you go here and these are the steps you take and these are your, can you get out there and take XYZ 1-2-3, everybody get lined up. Can you line yourself up and can you go execute? I think there was high level rotation of making, you know, testing their intellect, testing their ability to translate from the classrooms and from the practice field into the game field. And so I think there was heavy rotation. Am I concerned about the defense's ability to stop the run? I think it's really only about a 4, about a 5, but you know, that's the big area from last year. Can you stop quarterback run? Can you stop one gap, you know, plus run situations? Quarterback run where they have one extra hat to block and you are kind of outnumbered from a numbers perspective. Oh,
you know, one of the other things.
That's my main thing for the defense. Go ahead.
No, I'd agree. And one of the other things about the nature of a scrimmage is, with, like you said, with that high level of rotation, I mean, you'll have a guy like Yanze Pierre in against, you know, the first team offense. And you have just so much guys. You want to see everyone mix in. You want to see everyone play together. And there are going to be certain situations where, okay, maybe you're a little overmatched, you know, going against the starters. But that's what you need at this time of year. So, again, that's why.
Right. The purpose of the scrimmage is to find out who's been up to snuff over these last 10 days, mm-hmm. and to find out, should I keep giving Billy more chances over these next 2 weeks in camp, or do I need to consider Billy's more of a project and move him down the depth chart? I don't know that there should be really any high concern coming out from the first scrimmage, because that's exactly what it is. It's a first scrimmage. You're still going to have another scrimmage on Saturday and then a final week of fall camp before you decide, all right, this is our group of 18 contributors on the offense, maybe 19 contributors on the offense. Oh, and here's our group of 19 or to 23 contributors on the defense. Da-na-na-na-da-da-na. That's a fine. You got to turn your phone on silent, bro. $1 in the kitty. Yeah, I think it's all about finding out, hey, because you pretty much know who the first 11 are going to be on each side of the ball. And so you're looking at a next group of 20. You're looking at, you know, 30-30 on both sides of the ball that you want to get cut down to. Who can I trust? How many of these 30 can I trust? On offense, you'll pare it down to about, as I said, 18, 19 players, 20. And same on defense. You're going to pare it down to 19, 20, 22, 23 players. And it's about finding out, hey, are you 25? Are you number 25 on this list? And sorry, buddy, you just are making too many mental mistakes. Like, I caution people from overreacting to this scrimmage that much.
Yeah, and that's exactly what we talked about with the running backs a minute ago. Like, someone's going to get cut. Someone's going to just make the bubble, you know? I don't think I'll be really concerned about anything said after a scrimmage until 2 weeks from today. Or until, you know,
next Saturday,
the final scrimmage, yeah. Like, when we're breaking down this show on August 25th, and we're under a week from Tallahassee. And then DeBoer is talking about something that was really concerning. That's when I might put a little stock into it.
Yeah, but he's not really going to say, hey, we're a week away from game day, and this is still concerning me.
We can't stop any run up the middle. We need to, we're not going to hear that at all.
So on Thursday, August 21st, we get Coach DeBoer for the last time in fall camp. Before,
so we don't have him after the scrimmage?
I don't think there's a third scrimmage.
Really?
Now, maybe I have my schedule wrong, but I'm pretty sure you have this past Saturday scrimmage and you have this coming Saturday scrimmage. I think that's it.
I was under the impression we had a third scrimmage before game week.
Yeah, no, I think that you just have the two, and then you have a last week of fall camp, and then you're into game week.
Okay, good to know. This is our last scrimmage then.
Yeah, we're going to hear from Coach DeBoer on Thursday, August 21st, and we need to just pepper him with, what stunk for fall camp? You got one week. Your next week is game week. What should Florida State be looking for next? just get ourselves really on the blacklist. I'd be like, Coach, what do you think Florida State's going to be doing? What do you think they're going to struggle with next week? No, we won't get any of that. And we'll keep it 1% serious here.
1% serious.
All right, we're at the end of our hour, Theo, so I'll just throw it to you and say, if there's anything from the Alabama scrimmage, start with that, from the Alabama scrimmage that stood out to you that we didn't talk about, or, yeah, anything Alabama football related that you want to chat about.
You know, I think a real quick, I think Cuevas has impressed me from what I'm hearing. I think that he's going to be more of a factor than I think I'd initially thought. I was a little lower on the tight ends, you know, over the summer, and I'm really starting to think that he'll be a very big contributor.
Big as in more than 23 receptions?
I'd go yes.
Because that's about 2 per game. That's about 3 per game.
Yeah, like I think I'm going over 3 per game.
What's that? 3 times 12 is 36, right?
Yeah, I like that number. You know, I think especially if we're talking about Ty needing to take, you know, a bunch of reads, maybe not always pushing the ball downfield.
I'm just wondering if he's given the plays enough chance to develop. And I'm just wondering if he's given these playmakers a chance to make plays down the field. Or if he's just, oh, I'm going 1, 2, 3, 4, and there's Josh Cuevas right over the center, 3 yards over the center. Or, oh, I'm not even getting to 2. Cole Adams is running this 2-yard whip route, and I'm throwing it out to him.
Well, hey, so much of that comes down to pass protection. Mm. And a lot of, I mean, the tight ends have a big role in that. And I think we got some guys who can block. So I feel like we'll see Cuevas go out and catch some passes. Obviously, we're going to have him making sure Ty has enough time to deliver his passes on a lot of plays, though.
What did your boy Jackson Dart do this weekend?
Oh, he was awesome.
He's the
future.
Deeper in love?
I'm deeper in love. He is going to be the face of this franchise. He will have a statue outside MetLife right next to Eli.
Wow.
12 of 19. Beautiful touchdown pass. I can't wait for Giants football. We're going to be good this year.
Are y'all the NFC East team that was bad last year that's going to be good? Because that's how it always is. The NFC exactly. Always has a dog poo team from 1 year turn to, they're decent. And because they play in the Big Four market, decent means amazing.
We haven't had a repeat champion in the division in my lifetime.
Yeah, but every year, y'all have the Big Four markets: New York, Dallas, Philly, and Washington. The only two, those are what, four of the biggest 6 markets outside of Chicago and LA, right? Yeah. Roughly, I mean, Washington's not the biggest. You know,
definitely 4 top 10.
Right, 4 massive markets, and the East Coast bias that plays into all of media
and the history of the franchises. It's the most historic division in sports, in any sport.
Okay. Every year, the pooey team that's actually good, that's actually above average, the next year they're so good, they're amazing.
Here's the thing: the Eagles
and they're not.
The Eagles lost players this offseason.
The Eagles are still going to smoke y'all.
Landon Dickerson, unfortunately, was.
They're still going to smoke the whole division.
Philly's washed. Nick Sirianni is an overrated head coach.
Don't do that.
Jalen Hurts is not as good a quarterback as people think he is.
Don't do that.
Philly, 10-7.
Don't do that.
Washington,
10-7 is still going to be good enough to win that division.
Jaden Daniels.
I'm with you there.
Jaden Daniels is going to have a C.J. Stroud-type season.
I am with you there.
You know, sophomore slump. McLaurin may hold out. Debo is still too big. I mean, Washington takes a step back.
Y'all can finish second in the division because Washington is going to take a step back, and Dallas is in turmoil.
They're in turmoil. Dallas, I think, is going to finish last.
I think they
finished last, and I think New York swoops in 11-6, and we're taking that division. Let Russ cook. Russell Wilson is going to
wait. Is it Russell Wilson or is it Jackson Dart?
Dart's the future. Russ is right now. And Jameis is there for the vibes.
Don't do that. You're not going to like what you see if you put Russell Wilson out there.
Russell Wilson is not a bad QB. And Denver convinced everyone that he was. He was very, very good last year. His deep ball is still on point. He's going to unlock the potential of Jalin Hyatt and all our guys. And I'm rambling now.
Go ahead.
But you guys are going to watch this back in January and wish you open your FanDuel account and place this bet on New York to win the division.
They're not. Don't do that. This is not a gambling. We don't give gambling. We don't give bad gambling advice on this show.
We don't give bad gambling advice. This is great gambling advice.
No. Oh, my gosh. After one preseason game, you're here?
I am here, and I'm here to stay.
Who do y'all have next week in the preseason? You don't even know.
Who cares about preseason?
You do, apparently, because you're sitting here claiming. What was it this week? Did y'all wax?
We cooked Mitch Trubisky in the Bills.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, okay. Great. Congratulations.
Thank you.
34-25. Great.
We got the Jets this week.
Get out of here. And you're going to cook them again. You're going to cook the Jets, even though the Jets, thank you, Jets. The Jets gave me a lot of fuel destroying the Green Bay Packers this preseason. But it's preseason. What are we doing?
I'm going to say this schedule. People talked about how hard it was. We got the washed Commanders week one. We got Dallas week two. We got a home Sunday night football against the Chiefs. So, you know, New York has
2-1. Keep going.
3-0.
Keep going.
New York has a better record against the Chiefs than any other franchise.
Keep going. You're 2-1.
We got the Chargers. All right. That one might be a loss.
Where?
It's home, but I don't feel great about that game.
All right. Yeah.
So 3-1 after that loss. 3-1.
Yeah.
We beat the Saints. We beat the Eagles.
Yeah.
We beat the Broncos. We beat the Eagles.
Where's the Broncos game?
We probably lose to Denver. That's on the road.
Yeah, keep going. You're at the Broncos game. What's the next?
We play the Eagles twice in 3 weeks. We split those two.
Keep going.
We got the Niners at home. That's a win.
Yeah, I'm at 4-5. Keep going.
We got the Bears. That's a win.
Where?
In Chicago. I don't care. You know that is a Giants.
4-6.
Win.
4-6.
Keep 4-6. Going. 4-6.
Keep going.
What are we on? We got Denver. We got Green Bay at home.
It's 5-6.
I think that's a win.
Yeah, 5-6.
Detroit on the road, loss.
5-7.
New England at home, win.
5-8.
Washington at home, 5-8. Where? New England? Are you serious?
Yes.
Commanders at home, win.
Yeah.
J.J. McCarthy.
6-8.
J.J. McCarthy at home is
seven,
a win.
7-8.
Raiders on the road, doesn't matter. That's a win.
Yeah, 8-8.
And then we wrap against Dallas.
Nine and eight.
And that's from you with all your negativity.
9-8, yeah.
If Joe says we're going 9-8, we might go 12-5.
Oh gosh.
I can't wait for the NFL.
9-8, baby.
The fact that you ended with us with a winning record.
Because the schedule's pooey. But I also gave you losses to the Packers and the Vikings.
We're not losing both those games. We're beating the Niners. We're beating the Bears.
Get out of here.
We're not losing. You had us losing to New England. Come on.
Yeah, Drake May's going to be good.
Drake May is not that good.
He's going to be good.
That's a Giants win.
It's going to be...
Their O-line cannot Travion protect
Henderson, Travion Henderson is going to be... What? Their offensive line just got upgraded.
It doesn't matter. We have the best group of four pass rushers in football.
Is Kayvon Thibodeau going to play with any fire? Or is he just going to be a
contract
dummy?
Year? He's fine. It's now or never. I mean,
I know about these now or never pass rushers. Leonard Floyd, not so good.
He'll show up.
9-8.
Evan Neal is another question.
Come on. Russell's going to be hurt by the third week.
We have Jameis. We're all good.
Jameis is going to be throwing interception. Jameis is going to be chucking the ball down the field.
We got Russ. We got Jameis. We got Dart.
You can't play all three at once.
And then we got Tommy DeVito to win us three games when we need it late in the season. I mean, this is awesome. We'll probably pull Eli out of retirement. I mean, this is going to be a fun season.
9-8. Would you be happy with that?
I'd be happy with 9-8.
9-8, and you're missing the playoffs.
I can live with that.
Because the NFC is just not good, not that good.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, I think 9-8 would get us in.
Maybe. I mean, it depends on all the other divisions.
Yeah. I mean,
because the Eagles are going to go 11-6, 11-6, 12-5,
10-7.
Okay, if they're 10-7, they're still ahead of you.
Yeah, I mean, but we'll beat them twice. And
no, you won't.
Yes, we will. Look, 9-8. I'll live.
What's the hottest take that you're most comfortable with? Beating the Eagles twice?
I think the
or finishing first in the division is a pretty spicy one too.
I think I'm going to give you the Giants win 4 out of 5 down the stretch. We go 4-1 in our last 5 games.
Yeah, that's when I started having you win.
Like, I think I feel very strong about that.
I was at like 5-8 for the longest.
The other one I'm going to give you is we're beating the Chiefs week 3, Sunday Night Football.
At home?
At home.
That's not so hot. That's not too big of a limb. I could see it happening.
I mean, I already gave you the division win. I mean, what do you want here?
Yeah, division win is probably your spiciest one.
Yeah, and beating
the Eagles twice is right there behind it.
And look, if it doesn't happen, I'm okay. Our Super Bowl year isn't until 2027, but you know, these are the years where we got to ramp it up a little.
My man Ben Johnson going crazy on the sideline yesterday.
I saw that.
Hey, if the Bears are bad, it's fine, but we're going to play hard and we're going to hit some people.
I'll say, I didn't realize how impressive that staff was that he's built up. He's got a super team there.
As far as coaches go, you're right. They're going to be a well-coached team. They may stink talent-wise. That might be the case. He's still looking for a left tackle. Will you play left tackle for the Bears, Theo, please?
I'll step up.
Yeah, exactly. More than Braxton Jones, but
Caden Proctor in a year.
Tank for Caden. I'm really hoping actually the move is drafting Parker Brelsford at 23 next year. Yeah, that's my real hope. Drafting Parker Brelsford at 19 overall.
That's a good position to be at.
That's kind of really my goal for them. Fun time, and football is back.
I can't wait.
The next time we talk to you, we're going to have a starting quarterback.
Yeah, that's crazy.
What are the chances it's not Ty Simpson? Put a percentage on it. 1, 3, 15, 4% Yeah, it's low.
I'd be shocked.
All right, Theo, tell the people goodbye. Give them anything else you want to give them and tell the people goodbye.
Hey. 3 weeks from today, we're sitting right here in this studio breaking down the FSU game.
Roll Tide.
All right, we'll be out of here. We'll be back tomorrow on the Joe Gaither Show. We'll get Mason Woods back in action. We appreciate everybody watching us on the Bama Central YouTube channel, listening to us on Spotify, Apple Podcast, Amazon. We appreciate Derek Daniel for putting up with all our shenanigans. We'll talk to you again tomorrow right here on the Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central and BamaCentral.com.